Happy Thursday, birds, and welcome to yet another edition of The Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, joined by a special guest, Adam Tickler, today, as he will be on the studio host for our upcoming women's basketball game against Belmont. You can catch that at 6:30. We will have a very, very limited edition of Red Zone today, but it still feels like there's so much to talk about, and I'm just going to tee this one up as Redbirds men's basketball kind of alluded to this morning on Twitter. It is a great day to be a Redbird. After going 0-5 in his first three seasons against Bradley, Ryan Peden and the boys finally got the job done last night on their home court, beating Bradley in what was just an awesome game. One of the probably the most fun Redbirds men's basketball game I've ever seen since I've gotten here.
Yeah, no question about it, especially considering where it was at home. The atmosphere was incredible, and just how high stakes of a game it was. It mattered so much for just standings in the Valley, and just finally getting the big win over your rival, and Illinois State was finally able to get the job done last night.
Yeah, that's probably the most exciting game I've ever watched, being here at Illinois State, not only just in basketball, but I'd say any other sport, too. The atmosphere was great. The players just seemed like they actually wanted this one, too, and I feel like this is going to be a good, like, confidence booster for them coming forward, too.
And I have to agree, they just wanted it more, because in the post-press conference, Bradley star player Duke Dean, he just straight up says, like, yeah, the Redbirds just wanted it more than us tonight, and we got to be better.
Yeah, and I agree. Being in the student section, it was loud. I lost my voice cheering, obviously, an electric game, and definitely being only my second year, that game was definitely the best I've watched.
We all were there in some aspect, me and Julian on Redbird Productions, Joey with the call last night, just a phenomenal job as always. I mean, incredible. I mean, you got the game of the year, no doubt. And Adam, obviously, making some noise, part of the student section. But, I mean, there's just so much to break down from this game, and I think we could start off with easily the player of the game and hopefully the breakout performance of the season, Jack Doherty. I mean, come on. It was just incredible what he was able to do yesterday. Coming off the bench, 24 minutes, went 7 of 10 from three-point range, only shot three-pointers yesterday, 25 points. The freshman, it was a coming-out game for him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and we've literally been begging on our knees on Red Zone every week for him to get more minutes, and it finally happened. It reminded me so much of last season where Illinois State, they got their biggest win of the season against a ranked Indiana State team, and Johnny Kinziger as a freshman wasn't really getting a lot of burn at that time. Coach Peden gave him a chance, and he dropped 31 points. That is just so identical to what happened last night with Jack Doherty, and I cannot be prouder of him.
Yeah, you can't really find shooting like that anymore. Not many players can just full-on just shoot lights out from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, and I feel like Jack Doherty, he's finally getting that national attention that he deserves, because at the size that he has, he's more of a forward versus like a guard. People don't shoot like that at that size anymore, especially around this type of talent. So Illinois State has to retain him going forward.
Yeah, and I was a little nervous. I saw he came in, hit a three, then Peden pulled him and was talking to him. And I was worried he wasn't going to see the court much, but Peden believed in him, and he came out and proved why he should.
It's incredible what he's able to do, because every time you just see him, it doesn't matter what part of the three-point range it is. You just see it, that ball go up, and it's like you feel like it's going to go in. And last night it was like, there was just never a heat check on him. He was just not afraid to shoot. They were getting him open looks. They were getting him contested looks as well. He had another four-point play last night as well. I mean, it was just it's simply incredible what the freshman was able to do, and kind of what Julian alluded to, too. Chase Walker said it in the post-game press conference. He's one of the best shooters in college basketball. He's one of the best shooters in the nation. And I think not only that game being on CBS Sports last night, the I-74 rivalry, and, you know, people getting to see Jack Doherty, I mean, when the lights were bright, he just shined above everyone else.
Yeah, just an incredible shooter, no question about it. But we need to talk about what the moment of the game was. Yeah, Jack Doherty was the player of the game, but Johnny Kinziger had the moment of the game. With 3 minutes left in the first half, he gets into a little entanglement with Zeke Montgomery and just has blood dripping down from his eyebrow, but he's still hyping up the crowd. He gets stitches at halftime and just has blood dripping down his face for the rest of the game, and he was still such a vocal point in that offense. I mean, for someone that's 5'11", getting 9 rebounds too, like, just what he was what the I-74 rivalry is all about. Just that pitcher there and the effort he put in is what makes this rivalry so special.
And I think not only just him getting hit in the face was special, but he's getting national attention for getting a rebound over a 7-footer. That's just all pure effort. And I believe Johnny, since his freshman year, he's been the heart and soul of this team. Without him, honestly, this team just would be more lost, not only on the on-court aspect, but also just like off-court and just having more of just a guy they could lead on to, and being a sophomore too, it's just very impressive from him.
If you've been listening to our airwaves all day, we've had a Johnny Kinzinger clip run throughout the day, and he kind of alluded to the fact of, you know, he's only been here for 2 years, and he's been the shining star of Illinois State the last 2 years, but he said he feels like he's almost been here forever, which is how, you know, how well he's played and just everything that's come along with it, the ups and downs. And I think last night was a huge up, and that's kind of what I want to go to next. I mean, yes, they're halfway through the season. They're in the middle of the conference right now, in the middle of the pack, but it almost feels like a win last night against a Bradley team that, you know, if it wasn't for Drake, a lot of people are projecting this team to win the conference, right? Mm-hmm. And you were able to get that huge, almost dominating win in a sense. And it almost feels like it's a culture shift, I guess you could say, in Normal for basketball, right?
No, absolutely. And talk about peaking at the right point of the season, because you see some teams go on super hot streaks to start off, and then they get cold and they get eliminated early. The Redbirds start to appear they're getting cold, you know. They had that embarrassing loss against Northern Iowa where they led for 38 out of 40 minutes and still lost. And then they got dominated by Drake and for some reason lost to Indiana State. It was kind of being a bad tide for the Redbirds, thinking it could be over. But that win against Bradley, as Ben Hootie just alluded to, absolutely shifts the culture.
Yeah, a lot of time around college basketball, you just see when teams really do just full-on plummet. Like, there's a team that's also in the state of Illinois that's plummeting right now.
I don't talk about that.
But at the same time, it just matters on when a team's really just getting it all together. This is a younger team, a transfer portal team, that they're finally just connecting now. And we know it could be a dangerous team in the tournament, but I feel like this team full-on is just effort and honestly free throws at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm seeing a lot of talk on Twitter saying no one wants to see the Redbirds team come March for the conference tournament. Like, they will be sneaky, and a lot of people are saying this team that won last night could be one of the best teams in the Valley.
Go ahead.
They're a wild card. They're a wild card in terms of when it comes to this Missouri Valley Conference tournament, because, you know, we talked about it last week. Their losses are so minimal. They've been in so many of these games. And last night, there was Bradley was clawing back. They were trying everything possible that they possibly could. And just time and time again, the Redbirds just went down the court and hit the big shot. That's what we've been needing all season long, especially in these Valley games. And that's why it almost feels like they're the wild card when we're going into this tournament, because, yeah, you know, you might look at it nationally in terms of, you know, people look at this tournament and say, okay, it's Drake or Bradley's to win. But, you know, it's just the fact of these Redbirds are scrappy, and they have played hard all season long, and just a lot, they've gotten unlucky at times. And I think just the way that they were able to pull together last night in front of an environment at CEFQ Arena that I don't think I've ever seen in my life, it was incredible to watch. And it just, it feels like that this team is headed in the right direction. I know it's only one win after a three-game losing streak, but winning to your conference rival and then having three more left, I mean, those games are huge.
I mean, he alluded to it earlier where he said close games. The Redbirds, in all their wins or losses, their losses, only one was by double digits, and that was to Evansville when Johnny Kinzinger and Chase Walker both did not play in the game. So every game this team is in, it's gritty and close. So they've been able to prove that they can hang with anybody in the Valley. They can hang with anybody in the nation. It just comes down to, can they close when the moment matters most?
And it did get really close last night, too. Like, Bradley was not letting up whatsoever. But at the same time, they really did find their guy that they could just give the ball to and let him just shoot the ball, being Jack. But also, I don't want them to shoot that many three-pointers when you're up that much in this game. You got to run out the clock. You got to take the nice layups and get the ball into Chase, because Chase is the one that has probably the highest percentage of making a good shot.
And I think that's why Jack Doherty playing is just so beneficial for the Redbirds, because when Chase Walker's in the post, they're just going to send double teams at him, and that's going to leave shooters open. And we've seen Redbirds miss in those scenarios, but if you leave Jack Doherty open to double team Chase Walker, that you'll just will never win that game. So that's why I think an increase in his minutes is going to be so beneficial for this team. And I think for the rest of the season, Jack Doherty's going to at least play 15 minutes a game, at least.
I hope so. If last night proved anything, probably not starting lineup.
I've seen a lot of discourse on this on Twitter. I just don't like Jack and Johnny playing at the same time, because then you have no spark off the bench at all if the starters go cold. I think when the Redbirds, they go like maybe on a 2-3 minute scoreless stretch, that's when you bring Jack in, he hits a couple threes, and you're back. That's why I think having a spark plug sixth man is so crucial, and I want Jack to stay in that for the rest of the year.
I just want to say this. I don't think I've ever seen the Redbird athletics community just more in tandem with one another than they were last night. I mean, Joey, you had a couple posts last night that went bananas on Redbird Twitter. I mean, 12K, 8K impressions. Like, it was incredible.
Hey, don't undermine it. It's at 22 right now.
All right, there we go.
I'm up right now.
22K impressions. But, yeah, and I think one of the coolest things about it all was a lot of people and kind of alluding to the fact of it's a different environment in college basketball these days. And, you know, people are kind of saying, like, if you want this team to stick together for the long run, go support Redbird NIL. I had seen so many posts about that last night and supporting the athletes, and yeah, it's valid.
Yeah, earlier today they released a shirt of Johnny in the locker room with the blood dripping down, and everyone's saying, buy the shirt so we have the money, and it's a nice shirt, and it could get a lot of sales.
Yeah, I already bought the shirt. I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I got the crew neck, and it's such an incredible shirt, and I know this is so lame to talk about because it's not sports journalism, but the photo had aura. Can we just be honest about that?
Yeah.
It's such a sick photo.
Cool photo.
There was so much yesterday that was just so much fun to unpack and kind of take a look back at. But, you know, going forward, three more games at Missouri State, at Southern Illinois, and then here against Evansville on March 2nd for Senior Day. Then the boys are going to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And not just talking about the boys in terms of Redbirds basketball, but the three of us will be going to St. Louis. We're super excited for that one. They might be playing on Thursday, but you know, if we could win out here, there's potential that they might be playing on Friday. I'm not gonna let's knock on wood here.
It's
but
a 7% chance. I saw on Twitter.
7% chance. Yeah. That is it. Just
so
a
you're telling me
like,
there's a chance.
Yeah,
there's always a chance. It's March.
Wait, is it based on like tiebreakers and stuff like
that?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Well, man, I couldn't be more excited for the direction of this Redbird men's basketball team. I mean, last night was just, it was so awesome to watch the community come together, and we couldn't be any more excited to talk about it as they got a huge win over Bradley. Congratulations to Coach Pete and the rest of those guys finally getting that much needed win over Bradley. We talked about it last week and we were like, it needs to happen. And it did. And
we manifested it.
Incredible. We come back on the Red Zone. We're going to be talking the Four Nations hockey tournament as well as NBA All-Star game. Stick right here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, Adam Tickler back for our second segment of the day as we are having a shortened version of Red Zone today. If you didn't hear about that, coming up, we have the Illinois State women's basketball game versus Belmont. That one is at 6:30 with Connor Allen and Noah Simon and Adam holding it down in the studio. So super excited for that one. So stick right here. Kind of a double feature Redbird coverage. We got Red Zone into the basketball game. You'll be seeing that again next week as well with myself on the call for that one. So a Joey Julian solo show.
That won't be the best one all year.
Yeah, this
all
right,
come on, guys.
I'm playing.
I got to hold it down between you guys. All right, let's talk about some highlights from this past weekend in national sports. And I don't think it's necessarily a highlight, but a low light in what was the NBA All-Star Game. They tried this new format that wasn't really a basketball game and more of an entertainment show, I guess is the best way to put it. We got about 3 hours of screen time for Mr. Beast and Kevin Hart, and 30 minutes of basketball. What an atrocious weekend. I mean, it could not have gone any worse for the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think my timing could have been worse either because we were watching the Skills Challenge and Ben Hootie like tweeted like, oh, hockey's overtaking the NBA. I'm like, oh, be serious, Ben. That's never going to happen. And then the All-Star game happened. I'm like, oh, the door might be open for the NHL to become bigger than the NBA because that was the travesty. First off, I don't hate the tournament format. I really did not hate that. It was the presentation that was so god-awful. You cannot have 40 minutes of basketball during a three-hour podcast, or not podcast, just 3 hours in general. I just
like
thought
a three-hour
that was
pregame show. Almost.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what it was. And, like, I'll still never forget when it's the finals, they do a tribute for the TNT crew, which is not going away in the middle of the game. What are we doing?
Honestly, all the whole weekend was pretty disappointing, but what disappointed me most was the Bulls finally had a dude on Saturday night playing again, and he full on just was horrible. Modest, I
that
mean,
was your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, like, that was what I was excited for. Finally, I get to see, like, somebody in a dunk contest or something like that, but he got up there and couldn't even make a dunk. And it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that's just being a Bulls fan for you. And then we see Wemby and CP3 trying to cheat the skills challenges, get the quickest time, and they get disqualified. Tyler Hero won the three-point contest. Who cares? And just all of the whole event was just a joke. The closest game was between the OGs and the Rising Stars. You're telling me Ryan Dunn and Trace Jackson Davis provided the most entertaining game of All-Star Weekend? What happened to the sport I love?
I think the biggest thing that I want to tie this all to, and kind of alluded back to your point, is the NHL this year went away from their All-Star game in the Four Nations tournament. And if you haven't been keeping up with this, I mean, some of the games haven't been so super exciting, but on Friday, or no, it was Saturday, which was just one of the best hockey games I think you'll ever watch. 3-1 win for United States, and we're running it back tonight with United States versus Canada. Couldn't be more excited for that one. But three fights in the first 9 seconds of the game, and meanwhile, the NBA has guys trying to dunk, and they can't even dunk. That's where my fact, where I more alluded to, oh my goodness, hockey is doing this right in a sport that is usually so hard to market, and the NBA is just getting slammed on right now across all national media outlets.
Yeah, if only the NBA could do three fights in 9 seconds and get away with it, but unfortunately, we're never going to see that happen.
It's crazy because the NBA is more international, but I feel like with what hockey's doing right now, they're just like being more of the international brand versus the NBA, when the NBA is full on grown from years and years to come.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of like the NBA players are like with the NHL. They're backing like a USA versus world type tournament to like kind of make it like how the NHL is doing it.
And that's the thing about the NHL too, is like these guys are in season, like they have to go back to their teams. You know, the Tkachuk brothers have to go back to their teams. Connor McDavid has to go back to their teams. Auston Matthews, stars, some of the best players across the league. And they're putting their bodies on the line just to win for their country for straight up bragging rights. It is, and that's just the hockey way. Like, that's just how these guys are. Like, they will literally put their bodies on the line no matter what. But we've already seen injuries. Like, Auston Matthews is dealing with injuries. Both Tkachuk brothers are dealing with injuries. But guess what? They're all available tonight, and they're ready to put on a show for the entire hockey world. Meanwhile, the biggest star in the NBA couldn't play in the All-Star game, the most marketable player, because he was having ankle issues.
Not just issues, soreness.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And
I'm not biased.
The best part about it, too, is he waited until 2 hours before the game to announce this, when you know he wasn't playing all week.
I mean, Anthony Edwards didn't even show up.
He's so sick. But no, me and Hootie kind of talked about this a little bit in the office, because like I was laughing. So I'm going to defend Ben Hootie again. Really sucks to do. So happy he's not going to be here next week. But anyways. So I was laughing because people on Twitter was like, oh, this is unfair. Like, Norman Powell should be in the game. Like, first off, you are just never turning your TV on to watch a Norman Powell All-Star game. Like, why are we lying to ourselves and pretend like this means a lot? But as Ben Hootie said, like, he does deserve it. I mean, he's had this most improved season, and he's turned the Clippers into a playoff team. Who would have predicted that? Nobody. So does he deserve the nod? Absolutely.
It's just more so, I feel like, yes, LeBron did know, and he definitely made that decision, like, probably a couple of days before he even showed up. He showed up late on Sunday, too. And I'm usually somebody that's just like, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter. But Norman Powell is also a guy that's probably never going to get that opportunity again. And it's more so just for him to actually get that nod versus, I feel like, the fans. Because I'm not going to lie, I don't really care about seeing Norman Powell in an All-Star game.
Yeah,
but, like, it's just more so about, like, himself actually getting the nod.
I think the biggest thing of it all, too, is, like, you know what? I'm going to start LeBron hate right now. We're going to go on that train
for those
couple minutes. Respect him for everything that he's done. Like, he's one of the great, he's the second greatest basketball player of all time. The second greatest basketball player of all time. He has done so much for the game, but at the same time, I think he's ruined the game as well. Like, there's part of it that, like, just the way LeBron goes about things, I'm just, at this point, I'm just ready for him to retire, and I'm ready for this new wave that we're talking about where I feel like it's been such an American heavy sport where like there's only been American stars, but like the most fun part about the NBA right now, and it sucks that Wembanyama is obviously dealing with that injury, but these international stars starting to take over, and I'm just ready for that new era of the NBA without LeBron James in it.
That is that's a hot take.
I'm sorry.
I respect it a lot, but first of all, I think LeBron is number one. Not going to go into that, but second of all, I feel like without LeBron in the NBA is going to have such a harder time to market, not only just the league itself, but also that you got him in the biggest brand in all the sports being the Lakers. Luka's the international player, but a lot of people in the NBA that watch it in our country too, they look for the American players too. So I think that's where the Cooper flag is coming into play in a couple of seasons. But right now, LeBron, if they didn't have LeBron in the league, I feel like they just go downhill ratings wise and everything wise, because you have a 40-year-old just full-on dominating the game, and we're never going to see that again in any sport, I feel. Except for Tom Brady.
Yeah, we're not. It's really going to come down to if Wembanyama can stay healthy. Praying for his health, blood clots are no joke. But it's just, I think people like to give the NBA credit for, like, marketing their young stars. I really don't think they've done that good of a job, because not everyone's, like, tuning in to see Jason Tatum play basketball. And the Celtics are an incredible team, but, like, people just don't like the guy. And, like, Anthony Edwards supposed to be the next big thing. Timberwolves are not doing, like, incredible numbers when it comes to viewership. I think they struggle with promoting these young stars, and they are god-awful at promoting these non-big market teams. Like, if it's not the Lakers, like, they're not getting primetime games.
Because if you really look at all, like, any trade rumor or anything, what team is it? Lakers, Knicks, Heat. It's always those three big markets. So for some reason, it's not Chicago. But other than that, you're just really just prepping these guys to get drafted by these small teams. And in a few years, when they have the chance, you want them to go to the big market. How is that going to grow the league at all?
It's a great question, but we got a couple seconds left. Ben Hootie, talk your talk about what's going to happen tonight.
Let's go USA. I cannot wait. Cue Freebird. It is maybe the most excited hockey game that I've been excited for in a really long time since the Blackhawks dynasty, prime, whatever. So much fun. Please tune in tonight. It has been such a joy to watch, and we need these bragging rights over Canada because, I mean, isn't Canada supposed to be the hockey country? Let's make it United States tonight. Thank you so much for joining the Red Zone. But once again, do not go anywhere. In a couple minutes, we will be live with Redbirds women's basketball against Belmont here on WZND. Thank you so much for joining the Red Zone, and we'll see you next week.